I was reading last week in the Irish Times, Cathy Sheridan, who frequently writes very interesting articles in the Irish Times, and she wrote an article headlined, Amazon's grip on online retail market is terrifying. And it got us to thinking and about Jeff Bezos. And of course, Jeff Bezos is the well-known richest man in the world, but I know very little about him, so I wanted to find out more. So we decided we'd ask Emmett Ryan of the Business Post to tell us all about Jeff Bezos, and he should be on the line now. Hi, Emmett.
Hi, Mario. Great to be on the show with you, as always.
Great. Now, did you know a lot about Jeff Bezos before we asked you to do this, or did you have to swat up on him?
I've written a fair bit about Bezos over the years, so I knew a good bit about him. It's he's a dork, which is probably his most adorable trait, but he's also, like Cathy was saying, on the route to being a very rich man, although news of his road to being a trillionaire has been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, so how much is he worth?
He's worth about $150 billion, which is a lot of money, Mario, I think it's safe to say. He's probably going to be worth about $200 billion by year end, which is doing well. Like, you know, he's done well out of the pandemic. But that, for those who are doing the maths, at least still leaves about 80% of the way short to a trillion.
Yeah, so a trillion would be $1,000 billion.
Yeah, so quite a lot of money. And there's like three companies ever have hit that mark, like one of which is Amazon. But like I mentioned, Bezos is only part of that. He's not the whole company. And like there's somebody did a bit of maths claiming he'd get there by 2026, but it involves an awful lot of things that even Bezos doesn't think will go right going right, basically. So he's still going to be horrifically wealthy, but just the 1 trillion mark, I think, is a little bit unrealistic.
Yeah. I just worked it out, actually, that $150 billion is actually the GDP of Bulgaria. So he could buy Bulgaria.
Yeah, no, I remember doing this when I was writing a profile about Bezos a couple of years ago. And so Amazon is worth roughly the Netherlands, for those wondering about the company as a whole. And so that's probably the good comparison to do. So he's Bulgaria, but the whole company is the Netherlands.
Okay. He's 55. But so tell us about his background. Who is he and how did he get to this position?
Well, the thing is, he comes from a pretty dull background. He was born, like, his mom was pretty young when she had him, but she married well, and it turned out, she married well a second time. Her first husband, they didn't last very long together. So his stepfather, whose surname he took, was an engineer, and quite successful at that. But also his grandfather worked basically in nuclear energy, so he was getting surrounded by nerds, but he was on his way to being a rich man, Mario, but the type of rich guy who doesn't become just a subject of a Sunday morning chat during the lockdown. And he was going to be an investment guy. He was doing pretty well. And he decided, he had this sort of brainwave, I can do a company that'll sell books on the internet. And, you know, your typical entrepreneur thing of, if I do X, Y, Z, it might work. But the thing with Bezos is he's always known very early that there's a reasonable chance of failure. And so he was like putting a bet on himself, but with also the safety net of knowing of, I can go back to being an investment banker. It isn't the end of the world for me. So he had that going. He chose the name Amazon because it began with A, literally. So had, I suppose, had Elb in the first letter of the alphabet. There could be Dublin connections to it. And he, it sort of took off from there, and it's all been sort of staggered where we think about, like, you know, you mentioned what to watch out for Ozark. Prime is obviously a thing now with the video stuff. And, you know, the flatmate's been absolutely guzzling that as much as he's been guzzling Netflix as long as the not lockdown's been going on. And but Prime was initially just a way to get your deliveries faster. Now it's part of a video thing. There's Amazon Web Services, which is the least known publicly of their products, probably the most important for the value, AWS, because it's one for all the data centers. And if you look at sort of Amazon stock price, don't get me wrong, again, this has long been a very, very, very valuable company. But the road to being a trillion-dollar company is roughly in line with when Amazon Web Services start getting popular. You sort of see this like nice gradual grow on the chart, and then this suddenly whoosh when AWS takes off because people need more cloud software and the stuff. And hey, Amazon's doing providing the services, so they were getting lots of money through that.
Okay.
So he's done quite well.
Okay. So, and in the pandemic, it's exploded. I mean, he's up $30 billion in the pandemic because everybody wants stuff delivered to their door now.
Yeah, no, it's doing quite well. Obviously, there's been the backlash, which Cathy pointed to, with people trying to find a way to order around Amazon. And oddly, perishable goods has been the easiest thing because we're obviously seeing a lot of the restaurants get around sort of not being open by selling boxes. I know Bujo Burger and Featherblade in Dublin are two of the better-known ones for that. But if you're not buying perishable goods, the odds are it's very hard to order without going through Amazon. There are routes, but you've got to be creative. And it's challenging for a lot of people.
What does he spend his money on, Emmett?
not his workers. That's the safest way to put it. He's had repeated issues with the staff. Like, there are so many challenges. The classic one is basically people who were pregnant and heavily so afraid to go on a toilet break because they'd basically be docked points and wages, essentially, for not hitting their processing target. He's designed to spend it on space because, and this is probably the worst line he could have mentioned at the time, he didn't think of anything better to spend his money on than going into space while he's dealing with, many, many war protests. As Kathy mentioned in her piece, during the lockdown, there was the option to take unlimited leave from Amazon if you were working in a factory. The only problem was it was unpaid unlimited leave. And even that has been withdrawn now because there's such a demand for products to be done through the warehouses. His space project, it's going to probably make him a lot of money as well long term because between himself and Elon Musk, they're going to connect the web through satellites across the world, and that will end up being used an awful lot by telecoms companies for networks. So he's going to make a lot of money from space, but he's not really good at tact, although we learned that with his divorce as well a couple of years ago.
Yeah, tell us about the divorce. It was one of the most highly publicized divorces of the last few years.
Yeah, so the reason we can't share a text he sent to the woman he was seeing on the side from his then wife is not because they're too racy, it's because they're too dorky, Mario. we can't do that to people at this hour of the morning to put them through it. So he had been effectively separated from Mackenzie Bezos, his now ex-wife, for a couple of years, but he was trying to stagger everything out. Basically, he wanted to be worth a certain amount before the divorce actually happened, so he was insulated financially so he could keep pressing on. Like, it's incredibly sad when you think about the reason. It was entirely a financial transaction for him as to when he divorced. And then texts he had sent his now spouse were leaked, which were basically, like, you need to be both pretty drunk and lacking creativity with English to be sending these. Like, you know, it's like, again, they weren't too racy. They were just the worst attempts at romance possible. Like, you know, it's like, and just, right, we get it. You like her, Jeff, but you're also, you know, meant to be an educated guy, you can phrase it with a bit more creativity and, you know, show you actually like her. So that was a bit sad. But the big talk at the time was obviously how much Mackenzie Bezos was going to get. It ended up being only $38 billion.
Yeah.
You know, it was a tough break for her. But listen, I think she'll be okay.
Yeah. And does he own, what other stuff does he own? Because he's big in newspapers as well, isn't that right? And he's always fighting with Trump.
Yeah, the main reason him and Trump don't get along is sort of twofold. One is that he's said no to Trump and Trump asking to be on committees. And the other is, though, he is the owner of the Washington Post, which it's become a classic tech billionaire philanthropic thing to do in recent years, is to buy a publication. Mark Benioff of Salesforce bought Time a couple of years ago. Bezos has the Washington Post. The Post is obviously a bigger deal. And yeah, he's been largely hands-off. He's done a lot of work in terms of the digitalization, as in actually making the digital product work. He's stayed out of editorial affairs pretty much exclusively. Unfortunately, that exclusivity included not really saying a word after the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post columnist, who was, of course, killed by Saudi operatives in Turkey.
Yep.
There's been a bit of controversy over that, but he's one of those guys who's on, like, the laundry list of people Donald Trump likes to tweet negative things about. Like, when the divorce was announced, Trump had an absolute field day mocking him with the usual elan and wit that we expect from the president.
Absolutely, yeah. The Washington Post. And, I mean, Trump has even tried to inadvertently get Bezos by, if you like, criticizing the American Postal Service. So, and trying to, you know, trying to not almost do away with the American Postal Service regulatory framework to almost get at Bezos.
Yeah, because Amazon does actually rely on the USPS a lot for its last couple of miles in rural regional areas. But what Trump doesn't realize is the USPS kind of relies on those Amazon deals to some degree, but at the same time is also under pressure because it's not allowed to charge, corporate rates, basically. It's still going to charge Amazon like it's, you know, you or me, Mario, which is obviously a little bit dodgy. And Amazon relies on it for its network, but at the same time, the part of its network it relies on it most for are people who really, really need to have a postal service because there is no profit to be made in them having a postal service. It's one of those sort of, you know, areas where they need it. And if they don't have it, you know, funded by the state, there will not be one. So it's a little bit of a concern. But yeah, no, Bezos, I think that's one of his, like, lesser problems right now. His bigger problem, to be honest, is maintaining that he's not, basically the worst boss in the world.
Yeah.
You know,
and is he Emmett?
he's up there. He's got to be right up there because the staff, like they've been given $2 extra an hour, for the current COVID thing. But I've been told that's being taken away soon. Like I mentioned, Kathy pointed out that the unlimited unpaid leave has been taken away. And what they're going to get instead, don't worry, is a letter saying thank you, literally.
Yeah.
A letter saying thank you for what they've done for Amazon during COVID. Like, obviously it's not unionized, which is not exactly a massive shock, but the conditions, because we normally talk about like deplorable conditions in, warehouses, we're talking about the third world, Mario, which is obviously horrific in its own right, but that we see this in what are meant to be modern, functional, advanced economies, that there are these conditions which we normally criticize for places that are far away, whereas there are places that are awfully close by and much more like us culturally, that we haven't been able to stop it there. That's even more frightening.
Yeah. In Kathy's article in the Irish Times this week, she was talking about Christian Smalls, the employee who led the protest. And it turned into, they uncovered a kind of a PR machine against, that was launched by Amazon against Christian Smalls. And they have a quote here. The plan was to smear Smalls' conduct as immoral, unacceptable, and arguably illegal. Make him the most interesting part of the story. And if possible, make him the face of the entire union organizing movement. He's not smart or articulate. And to the extent the press wants to focus on us versus him, we'll be in a much stronger PR position than simply explaining for the umpteenth time how we're trying to protect workers.
Yeah, that, and shockingly, what they didn't realize through all the process was those discussions were going to get out at some point, and that was going to make them look worse. If you look at the main problem, is they just see it as them versus the worker. They don't realize that it's gone beyond that now. To a lot of people are a little more wary of using Amazon. There's the environmental impact to a degree, but also realizing that you're exploiting labor, which is really close to home quite often. And that, whatever people might say about wearing Nikes and Adidas and all that, exploiting labor from, further away, there is an emotional link for a lot of people when they suddenly realize it could be the person who lives in their building that they're messing around here. And that's going to have an emotional hit home more, rightly or wrongly. Yeah. And, Amazon just doesn't get that, and they need to, basically, is the short version.
Emmett, what do you see him getting involved in the future? For example, there's no indication that he's politically interested, is there? Or what other areas do you see him getting involved in?
I don't see him going for politics directly, because I think he sees conventional Earth politics is beneath him. Like, space is definitely going to increase. He certainly wants to get people onto Mars. Himself and Elon both have plans to have 1 million people on Mars combined through their own separate projects by the end of the century. Given not one person has been on Mars and only 12 have been on the moon, that's a little ambitious. So I think space is the big one to watch out for. Further Farley is certainly into media, because he owns the Washington Post. We've seen him invest in more in Prime. Now that we've seen Disney step up and Apple as well, I can see more happening there. But the biggest thing quite often is going to be owning the supply chain. So he'll find new ways to make sure that things in supply are owned. Like, he basically used to rely on DHL, now he is DHL. And I think more parts of that, he's going to find new ways to make us harder to avoid him.
Okay, we leave it there. Emmett Ryan from the Business Post, thanks very much for that very interesting profile of Jeff Bezos. Thanks very much, Emmett.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.